Welcome, everybody. It is Thursday, January 11th, 2018, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time PSS call. And we are going to talk about tone of the home this week, which is truly one of the more fascinating, sort of one of the uber issues that sort of pulls it all together, I think. And it's definitely one of the pieces of information we hear people talking about and referencing a lot as really impactful, and I think it's really because it pulls together a lot of the different pieces we talk about in the coach approach. So let's start with celebrations, and it's a new year, so that's always a great time to celebrate. Who wants to get us going? Don't all jump at once. I do have you unmuted, right? I do.
Okay, I could go.
Go for it.
I'm just going to celebrate that my marriage is strong and intact despite all of the challenges of raising complex kids.
Wow, what a beautiful statement. I hope you choose to share that with your partner. That's a beautiful way to kick it off. Thank you.
I just said that to him yesterday, which is what made me think of it.
Great, beautiful. Who else?
Well, it's Velma. I can share that since I had removed my husband from the household, the tone of the household has gotten better every year. So my ex is gone, and we're getting along just fine. Contrary, but it is a fact.
Not contrary, but, you know, it's all about making decisions, and sometimes the decisions are hard, but really what we need. So so I'm going to – what I'll take from that is the tone of the home is getting better every year.
And my daughter, who is 20, is taking more responsibility for – making a home rather than being told what to do or being a child in the home. So
that's
really nice. Yeah, it's really nice. And that was really nice over the holidays. So that's what I'm celebrating, really. I just had to say the other thing because it was also true.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Okay, so your daughter's taking, I love the way you put it too, taking more responsibility for making a home. And, you know, which is what so many parents want. And it you know, it takes time for them to mature enough to have to take on that kind of ownership. So.
Yeah.
So who else?
Thank you.
Yeah, Devana. I mean, Erin or Julie.
I'll go. This is Erin. You know, it's funny. I am celebrating a couple things. One, I shared on an earlier call that I'm working on this driving contract with my son, and we got the contract done, and we've done two iterations. So it's kind of evolving. He's not actually not driving yet. So it's kind of neat to have the time in advance, you know, work some of it out. And the other is actually really the tone of the home stuff. I don't know where it's come from. I haven't historically been very focused on that. And something's just changing in me. And I've been, this is going to sound really funny, but really getting kind of interested in like cleaning product things and dishes, which is like alien but fun. I'm loving it. It's domestic.
So there is something you're sort of increasing your ownership of making it a home, I'm hearing.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really nice. It's really nice. I don't know what my son thinks about it. Even notices, but I discovered it's called the Mr. Clean Magic Sponge, and I was like so enthralled with that thing.
Oh, I love that
amazing
thing. Yep.
Oh my God. I'm like, how did I get this old and not know about that?
Yeah. I discovered it when I was moving and I was cleaning walls. So here's what I'm hearing, and I love that this is the second time it's come up this week, is that tone of the home is not just about how we speak and not about the language we use or the energy at all, but there's also something physical about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we usually think about it as more sort of theoretical, but there is a tone that is set by the cleanliness and the clutter and all of that. And so I hear that being addressed as well.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Julie, what about you?
Well, on a similar note, on Sunday we spent the day kind of rearranging some furniture and cleaning, and it's not done yet, but it was, I was excited to see everybody kind of pitching in. And so, yeah, that's it. I couldn't really think of much, but that was a good thing.
So there's a sense of sort of teamwork.
Yeah.
On a project.
Yes, which is good.
Awesome. That is great. So taking aim, anyone? What do you want to focus on this week?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Should it be in the tone of the home area, or is it more open?
Doesn't have to be. It can be whatever you want to take aim on, because it's really about what's going on for you, what's the change you want to see. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the topic of the day will relate to it, and sometimes it won't. Tone of the home is one that almost always has some applicability. You know,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely take aim on what's the change you want to see.
Well, for me, it's part of this thing I've been talking about on the last couple calls with the driving, because Ryan, he's taking his driving test in 2 weeks. I think he's probably going to pass. So we have this contract, and my son hasn't really been quite keeping to it diligently. I mean, it hasn't really started yet, but he's just been, like, I haven't been comfortable at all with his level of sort of commitment to this agreement. It has some work things that he needs to do to help pay for the car and some different things. And I realize, like, the part on me that I want to focus on is being able to hold those expectations and boundaries. And I realized that I just have a really hard time doing that. And I know I need to be matter-of-fact about it. You know, you do these things so you can have the privilege of using the car, driving the car. And it's really hard for me. And I don't, like, well, just what I notice is, like, I feel guilty, like, holding him accountable. I don't even know what that's about. But, at least, I mean, I have that awareness.
It is great to have that awareness. So really what you want to focus on is finding some comfort with holding accountabilities.
Yeah, because this is like the biggest privilege, biggest responsibility, biggest everything that he's ever had, and I am not at all okay with him just having this without earning it and respecting it and all that. And I guess till now it's been, the stakes haven't felt as high, so even I've kind of slid on it.
Mm-hmm. So... Well, let's move on. We'll come back to it. But I just, what I want to highlight for you to think about just in this as we're moving forward is the notion of flexible structure. Because one of the things he said is he hasn't been perfectly adherent to it, and he hasn't really bothered you, right?
Right. Well,
so
with
making
that,
sure that you're focused on the spirit of it, and making sure that the point of a structure, right, is to reinforce what we're trying to do, not to become an end in and of itself. So, and that's what, just to sort of put that in your mind to think about as we continue this conversation. But, you know, to remember, where is it, making sure that it doesn't become about adhering to a structure and making sure you're holding the vision of what's the purpose of the structure in the first place.
That makes sense? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm writing it down.
Okay. Who else? Where do you want to take aim?
I guess I mean, maybe, and this is sort of off the topic of Tone of the Home, maybe, but it kind of goes with the contract and the keeping the spirit of it and the setting of expectations that makes sense. I was toying with the notion of taking aim on formalizing more of a contract this week, and making sure that we negotiate a time to sit down and talk about that this weekend. And then I was thinking about what we've said so far and where he's kind of behind. Like, he'd taken the car one night with he had negotiated with his dad that he'd take the car that night, and then he'd sort of pay for it. He was supposed to be doing chores in order to have car access, and he hadn't been. And so he said he'd take the car, but he would get up early the next morning by 9 a.m. and do a chore the next morning. And this was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it has not happened yet. So doesn't have car privileges, with the one exception of he's allowed to drive to the gym to work out.
So,
and we have another,
got it.
Some other,
pretty typical.
Some other he hasn't done, and so he doesn't have X, Y, Z, you know. And I'm kind of thinking, I mean, it's unrealistic. They made this plan. We're a month in. It doesn't work for him to get up at 9 a.m. and do a chore. It's just for lots of reasons. So I mean, why are we making this the line in the sand necessarily? Maybe we need to offer.
Repeat moment.
Yeah, maybe we need to offer him to come up with an alternative solution that would meet the spirit of it, and then let him come up with a different way to sort of satisfy them.
Right. So that's what, you know, rinse and repeat is, okay, what works here, what doesn't work? And there's clearly something that's not working. So if you step back and say, okay, what's the change you're looking, what are you looking for? And it sounds like you're looking for him to have some buy-in, for lack of a better word, or ownership. Like, what's the change you're looking for?
Him helping make a home.
Contribution to the home. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah. But that could be part of our, taking aim about, you know, kind of making time to negotiate.
Exactly. Great. Somebody else has just joined us. Who's here?
Yes, it's Lisa from New York.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. We are already on taking aim, so let me finish, keep moving through with everybody else, and then we'll come back to you and do a quick celebration and take aim, okay?
Okay.
Awesome. Okay. Who's next on taking aim?
Oh, go ahead, Vilma.
Okay, it doesn't matter. My challenge is that this weekend, my 20-year-old moved back to her campus apartment, college, and I am not, you know, I can't efficiently check up on her about stuff without the same way that you can at home when you just happen to be present in the same space. You know, she'll be. So I wonder how I'm going to. I have a specific thing that I'm concerned with. Yeah. So I'm concerned with her codependency with a girlfriend. And I just don't really know how to reasonably. Reasonably interact with that.
Does she know you have this concern?
Yeah, she does. Yeah,
okay.
She does. And
so
she,
what I,
you know, she,
what I
yeah.
think I'm hearing is you want to. How do you stay in communication with her about this codependency with a girlfriend now that she's gone back?
Yeah.
To school?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Okay.
Julie, what about you?
I think I want to work on the, again, more of that sense of teamwork and shared responsibility. These are from the tone of the home wheel, but it was good this weekend, and so I want to maybe think about what was good about it and try to sort of recreate the moment so it'll happen again.
So you want to keep the teamwork going strong?
Yes.
Almost like you want to find another opportunity.
Yes. Well, there's always opportunities, but yeah.
Right, of course. Right. Okay. And Lisa, although it's always, it's Lisa from New York. Lisa from New York.
Yes.
What do you want to celebrate quickly, and then what do you want to take aim on?
I want to celebrate that, again, my son, who is a freshman in college, continues to, you know, appear very happy, you know, nice mood. You know, although his social life is limited, and I think it's sort of his choice, but he's happy, and that's so important to me, because he did struggle with depression, you know, in the past.
Yep. Awesome. Brilliant. And where do you want to take aim this week?
I was trying to think of the best way to formulate it, I mean, to articulate what I need, and how do I say this? My son has always been yes, 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 you know, because he wants me to stop talking. So he just yeses me. And but I keep trying to help him see, but your behavior is what I use to determine whether or not you're actually following through and you actually understand. And I think sometimes his behavior, you know, falls short. And he earned a scholarship to college, and he was aware that he had to maintain a 3.0, and we kept talking about it, and he kept telling me he knows, and he didn't. And he's also aware, and it will happen, that if he cannot do better next semester, that he cannot return there, because for a lot of reasons. And he knows that as well. But I don't know if he really understands, and I said to him, how is it that, you know, we were very clear with you that if you don't maintain a 3.0 and access all your supports, that there were going to be difficulties for you, and you kept saying, yes, I know, and now what motivates him, he claims, is the urgency that he has to get his act together. But obviously it didn't work, because he said, I didn't study enough, but now he feels he will. And I said, why? What's different now? And he said, because, which was great that he said this. He said, because I don't always know the first time. Doesn't happen to me the first time. Now we're doing this again, and I got it. I finally understand. So that's what am I asking? How do I feel? Because I don't want to lose $10,000, you know? If he's really not going to do what he needs to do, then don't go to college. Wait, let's do something else. Let's figure out something.
So stop
and
for a minute.
Okay.
Stop for a minute.
Yeah.
So, because I want to help you get clear on what you're really looking for is are you trying to figure out, should he go back to school, or are you trying to figure out how do you help him be more successful and be more accountable this term to that?
I would love, he wants to go back to school, so that's what I want. How do I help him be more successful? Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
That's why I get paid the big bucks, ladies.
and I want to hear this, because I got the exact same question, and we're in semester 4, so, and I still have the same question. And she did lose
but
her
is
scholarship.
It better than it was in semester 1?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you have a different hard stop. Lisa has a different hard stop because you got a scholarship issue, right? And so it changes the field a little bit and gives a little more incentive and more motivation.
Well, she had a scholarship and she lost it.
Right. And I mean, you know, my God, it's not atypical, right? So, but you're ahead of the curve here, Lisa, saying, let's see if we can help him keep his scholarship. So let's see what the piece is. Can I guarantee you, you're not going to lose $10,000? Well, and I'm not sure you call it losing $10,000, because he's still having a semester of college, right? We're still moving forward in that path, and we just have to remember to hold that big picture and that they're going to go on their path, whatever their path is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So let's move into the conversation about tone of the home, and then sort of come back and see where it interfaces with all of these different issues, okay? So tone of the home is one of these areas where it brings together a lot of different areas. It brings together positivity, it brings together expectations, self-care. You know, I often say every home has an energy. When my kids were little, we had a what I would call a sort of a yelling home. It was a little lot more anger and a lot more stress. We had a stress home, probably is a better way to put it. Now we have a laughter home. And so every home's got this sense of, are we all isolated in our silos, or do we come together sometimes? None of us are together all the time, but do we come together and work as a team, right? Like, what is the energy of the family dynamic and of the home? And there are a lot of pieces that influence that. Probably chief among them is our tone and our approach as parents. So, you know, we mentioned earlier some of the tone of a home is set by the physical energy in a home. Are the spaces laid out in a way that lead us to connect with each other? Is there clutter everywhere, or is there some space for us to be together? You know, if you've ever been in a house where there's absolutely no place to sit down, the tone of that home is going to be very different from a tone where, sure, there's clutter on the kitchen counters, but you can sit down at the kitchen table, right? So there's a physicality to tone that we do want to pay attention to. And one parent earlier this week really talked exclusively about tone of the home in terms of reducing clutter, because that was what he felt like was really impacting what was going on in the home. So there's that physical piece. And then there's this, what we mostly think about with tone of the home is that more relational piece. What we as parents bring, are we, you know, idle, threatened, nagging, and punishing, or are we patient and supportive, or are we permissive and indulgent? Like, you know, where are we in terms of how we interact with them, right? And I love what you were saying about realizing that you feel a little guilty about accountability and holding your son accountable, that there's this sort of uncomfortableness with it for many of us. Mm-hmm. And so recognizing that and what we bring to the dynamic and how that changes what happens in the home, right? And some of that is by our own intention and thinking about it. Some of that is by the language that we use, which I think has a huge, powerful impact, and the tone that goes with that language. You know, I always laugh. My kids are so much wiser than we are so often. And, you know, the time that one of my kids said to me, "You're saying yes, and, but what you really mean is but." Because she knew in the tone what we were saying. It didn't matter if we were using the right words, because the tone was giving us away, right? So, you know, when we as parents say to our kids, "Say thank you," or "Say please," or "What do you want to say to them?" and we say it in a tone that's out of sync with what we're actually asking of them, and we all have done that, you know, they're getting mixed messages, right? And so it's really, when we say to our kids, "Do you have a different way to say that?" to really truly say that in a tone that is open and kind and modeling what we want instead of directing it without modeling it. So a lot of tone of the home is about modeling, which is hard because these are all issues we're all struggling with as well, right? But, you know, the takeaway of all of it is that the tone of your home is what your kids are going to remember 20, 30 years from now. That's what they're going to try to either create in their own homes if they have kids, or what they're going to try to do differently if they have kids, right? And I have a lot of parents who come to work with us because they are trying to create a tone in their home that is different from the tone in the home they were raised in. And they don't have a model for it. They don't know how. And that is, I would venture a bet that's maybe 30% of the people in our community are here because it wasn't modeled for them, and they're learning how as adults because they never learned it as kids, right? So, you know, when I started paying attention to this many years ago, I remember sitting down with my husband and saying, "Okay, 20 years out, what do you want to remember the kids? What do you want the kids to remember? What are the three things you want them to remember about what life was like in our home?" And it was that, and it was, you know, for us, it was he wanted to wrestle on the floor with the kids, and I wanted to be hiking, and he wanted to play music, and, you know, whatever it was. But that conversation did a whole lot to help us really shape what we wanted the tone of our home to be like and to start with intention around it instead of just sort of going through life with blinders on, right? So do most of you have the tone of the home, the wheel of life from the workbook with you? I know that Erin does. Do most of you?
Yes, I have it. Yeah.
Okay. So I want you to each take a minute, and let's just, we're going to go through the eight pieces of the wheel really quickly. And just take a minute to assess your level of satisfaction now, not where you were yesterday or tomorrow, because it would probably be different, but your level of satisfaction right now with how things are going in your home in terms of the tone of your home. And the pieces that we think make up the tone of the home, and you're welcome to scratch one off and add something else if we miss something, are noise level. You know, is it a loud house? Is it a quiet house? Is there, you know, is it a fair house? Whatever, fair engagement, whatever. The level of emotionality or emotional intensity. The level of physicality or physical touch. And for some of us, that may be hugging and loving and dancing. And for some of us, it may be fighting and hitting and biting. So, you know, whatever that is. The sense of teamwork, and you know, that's come up several times today, feeling sort of a sense of we're in this together, whether it's owning that stuff in the house together or supporting each other together, but we're a team here. The time we spend with each other, the sort of visual aesthetic, the clutter factor, I guess, a sense of shared responsibilities, more about, you know, are we taking ownership of the house and the family together? And for some people, there's an importance around spirituality. And for some of us, it's spirituality. For others, it's sort of personal growth or seeking or whatever that is. So take a minute for each of yourselves and just draw the lines, you know, scale of 1 to 10. 0 is lousy and in the center, and 10 is fabulous and on the outside. What's your level of satisfaction with each of these areas of your tone of the home just today? And let me know, somebody give me some heads up or clue when you're ready to engage.
I'm ready. This is Julie.
Okay, Julie, why don't you share what you noticed, what came up for you?
Excuse me. The first thing I noticed was that it's pretty sad. It's way too low on almost everything. And then I started actually working on where I would want to be. So I think that might be something for me to something to look toward and think, how can I get to where I'm trying to be? I know for us, it's a huge, well, for me personally, it's all the clutter. It drives me crazy, and I would love to just spend the weekend with a dumpster in my driveway and just fill it up. Mark doesn't share the same thought, so.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Sure. Often when we do this kind of exercise, there are a couple of things that come up, but one is, you know, if the numbers are all lower than you'd like them to be, the question I often ask is look to one and ask yourself not what would a 10 look like, but what would two numbers up look like? So if you're at a 4, what would a 6
look
like? Right? Because we tend to sort of go in extremes.
And I don't think a 10 is reasonable for me in these things, but I would like to improve that specific one. The noise level is probably always going to be loud until the kids are out of the house. So that is what it is, kind of. And the time spent, that's something I could work on. But, yeah, even just a little bit of improvement would be, if every section, all 8 of them, improved just one number or two, that would be real nice.
So then that, the next question I would ask you is, where were you a year ago? Can you see the improvement that you have made? Or are you one of these people that has a hard time giving yourself credit? No matter how much improvement you get, it's not going to be good enough. So you're going to stay at a 4 no matter what.
That's interesting, because there are definitely improvements in the shared responsibility and sense of teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe,
All right.
I don't know if I'm always going to be down at the bottom. But
ponder a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, where was it a year ago? And is it
is
it really not better, or is it just that your expectations have shifted because things are better and you want more?
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is a valuable thing to know about yourself, because we have those of us who are like that, and I have a tendency towards that direction. It's really important for us to remember to even more to celebrate the growth, so that we don't have kids who begin to just give up because no matter what they do, it's never good enough. Or husbands,
yeah.
Or partners, you know, who feel like it doesn't matter what I do. I'm just going to stop trying, because even if I do this 100%, she's still going to want more. Right. And I'm
that's
not saying
exactly
that you,
the department I'm thinking about is my marriage. So that's interesting you say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, and I speak. this is my own personal experience, is that I have that tendency to forget to celebrate and acknowledge and really recognize what's going well, because it's like, okay, now you're almost at that level where this is what I want. I want more. I want more.
Right.
Acknowledgement we all need, right?
Yes.
So who else? What else is coming up for people in this? What else did you notice?
This is Erin. I noticed on mine that hi, it's Erin. Can you hear me? I noticed that mine I have two areas that are really, really good, and like three kind of in the middle and three really low, which I would say, looking back, like taking your question of 2 years ago, I don't think there was any that were like really high. Like, there's two areas that I'm just really happy with.
Will you share what they are?
Yeah. I mean, one of them is, actually the noise level in the house, and because it's just my son and I am divorced, and we seem to have evolved in a place where we're really compatible. Like, sometimes it's really noisy and just loud, and he's a very physical kid and he wants to throw things, balls at me or whatever. But other times it's just really quiet. Like, he reads, I read, he's got his own space. And that's, I think, very important for both of us to have that time to just be alone and quiet and whatever. So that feels really restorative to me, to be able to have that, because I didn't always have that.
Mm-hmm.
The other I put is the time spent, because the same thing, I feel like we've just hit a pretty good balance of
like a groove.
Time. Yeah, like focused time and other time. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So, not all tens, which would be an unrealistic expectation, right? But
no,
something's good, some room for improvement, and an ability to recognize the growth you've made.
Yeah. And I just wrote, the two that were kind of low, they go together, I thought, was teamwork and shared responsibility. And that kind of goes to that car conversation. Like, I also like the word, I'm just really wanting him to make more contribution.
Mm-hmm.
So those came out a little bit low, because I feel sort of, one, just as his mom, I want him to do that. And the other is like, he is too old for me to be doing this much for him. So.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
One more. Who else wants to share before we sort of see whether we want to stick with this or move into some laser coaching?
I'll do a quick one. Well, something is done with the 20-year-old going off to college again, but I see the difference between sense of teamwork and shared responsibility, and I didn't really see that before. So I get a sense that there's a sense of teamwork, but I'm still the one who has to initiate it. in terms of responsibility for the home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that even though she's willing to and sees and understands to actually get down to do it, it's still my responsibility to
mm-hmm.
initiate.
So that's
action,
what really what just came up for me as you said that, Vilma, is that it's almost like those two are connected, and I think often it's really hard to get a sense of shared responsibility without the sense of teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to have some kids who are sort of dutiful, right? And they're going to do stuff.
Right,
because,
yeah.
But I do think that they're connected, and that
yeah.
if you're seeing the growth in teamwork, that will lead uh-huh. you to the growth in shared responsibility. And you saw some of that over the holidays, right?
Right. Yes. Definitely a big improvement since last year.
Great.
So, yeah. Really
right.
Nice.
So great. So can I ask what number it was at?
Last
today?
Year?
No,
oh,
today.
Today, sense of teamwork 7, shared responsibility 3.
Mm-hmm. So where would it have been last year?
Right around 1 and 1.
Okay.
Yeah. But okay. One of the things I want to mention, I wonder if this is, and I also want to check, see if other people, how they feel about this. The under emotionality, I put it 10. Because I'm really pleased with how emotionally in tune we are. And I wonder if, I don't even expect that from people in general. And I just wonder if this is one of the benefits of ADHD. Is this emotionality that's more easily expressed?
I think for some people it can be.
Okay.
You know, there's a...
This passion kind of...
There's an intensity. So we're stimulation
yeah.
seekers.
Uh-huh.
And emotion is stimulation.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Right? So our
right.
kids are often empathic, connected.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get them to do
exactly.
their homework because they've got a friend in crisis and they have to take care of their friend.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And yourself, too. You know, if she sees me upset, it's like she's got to help.
Right.
Yes.
So I do think
fabulous.
That's why they do really well. I mean, not it's not universal. It's not all of them, but
yeah.
there's some connection there.
Yeah.
So we have about 20 minutes left, and we can either move into a conversation about this, or we could do some laser coaching. Anybody have a sense of, like, anybody want to take your topic and really move on it, or does this feel like a conversation that we want to continue? I'm going to open it up to you guys because we really could go either way. And I just realized I've got somebody muted, so I'm unmuting everybody. There was some background noise, so I muted you. So you're now all unmuted if you thought you were saying something. So why don't we... Several issues have come up in the places where we take aim. There was contribution to the home and keeping teamwork going. And then there was there's sort of two threads. One was about that teamwork and engagement, and one was about accountability and staying in touch with them about accountability and that kind of thing. So I'm going to suggest we take a sort of general approach and have a conversation about accountability, because it feels like that's a sort of a pressing issue in the room
mm-hmm.
in this space. Is everybody okay with that?
Yep.
Yeah. I like the way Elaine you sort of framed it with that. I used the word feel guilty. You sort of reframed it like that discomfort that comes. The parent, that would
mm-hmm.
be great. Talk about that.
Yeah. All right. So Erin, let's start with you a little bit and say a little bit about talk about that discomfort, because I think it really actually ties into tone of the home, right? because there's something about that discomfort that we're trying to avoid. We want to keep things comfortable, right?
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I might have to explore. Yeah, I'll do my best. It's a little bit of a mystery to me what's going on with it, but I'm just kind of more recently aware of it. I mean, I think part of it is just this, like if he doesn't, just to take a dumb thing, but like he doesn't take the trash out. Like the other night I got home and he just hadn't done any of his couple things I had asked him to do. And I got really upset with him because it was late and I had been really specific of please do this one thing. And I had gone out after work, which I don't usually do. So I had a little bit of that. And he actually responded to it pretty well. And then I get this thing of like, am I being too hard on him? Am I being a bitch? Sorry. So I have all of that. And then on the other side, I'm like standing on each shoulder is saying, like, I'm thinking like, but I want him to grow up and do these things. Like, I don't, you know, to be able to contribute and be part of, because like that, he's not necessarily the most empathetic or thoughtful kid. He's really not. I mean, that's just not, I don't know if that's a gender thing, but he doesn't sit there and think about my feelings.
Yeah.
He does not think about my feelings too much unless I tell him, you know.
Right.
So, and I think in the mix too is because he's had some challenges. I know everybody here's kids have, and with Ryan, at charity, he had this head injury that he's really, really good, but I think that's in the mix too. Like, part of me, I'm like, I want to push him, I want to hold that standard because I know he can rise to it, and then that other part is, like, so protective, and I don't want to discourage him or, you know what I mean? It's like, and then intellectually, though, I just know, like, babying him or not holding him accountable is going to do the exact thing I'm trying not to do, which if he doesn't hold himself accountable, or maybe he doesn't think he can do these things, I don't know. But me not holding that bar, I know, is not going to go where
doesn't
I
serve him.
Want
both, right.
Both of, or him or me. Yeah.
Or you. Right. So let me ask you a question, and then I want to hear from others, because I suspect you're very much not alone in this. I know personally, I know you're not alone in it. But when you think about how you feel when you think, well, I don't want to have that conversation, right? I don't want to have to go to him and say, I asked you to do this and you didn't. What's the feeling that comes up?
It's like anxiety. Like, it's just anxiety.
Afraid
like,
that. Are you afraid you're going to set him off? Are you afraid it's going to damage your relationship? Are you afraid it's going
It's mostly that. Like, that he's going to get set off and, you know, complaining and all that. And then I think the anxiety, too, is like I am one of those parents. Like, I did not learn how to do any of this growing up. So this is always, like, everything feels new. So I think it's that. Like, I don't know what to make of when he's angry and pushing back at me. Like, I can make up a lot of stories about that, but I feel not very well equipped to deal with that or to be neutral through it. I don't know what to do with all that emotion. Like, I know way more about what not to do. You know? If that makes
sense. So what I'm hearing is that part of it is just trying to keep the peace, right? But there's also a sense of, I'm not quite confident. I'm not sure it's the right thing, and so what I don't want to do is endanger our relationship. I don't want to threaten.
You know what? And what it's that, and I think I have a lot of fear of messing up. Like, if he's angry and pushing back, I'm like, am I doing the totally wrong thing here? I don't have a partner to bounce it off of. I have all these bad examples from growing up. So I think that's probably a lot of it. I don't feel at all confident in that moment.
In that moment. And so there's this sense that, so part of me says, okay, that's the time to sort of let the moment pass for a minute. Nothing almost ever has to happen right in that moment. You always have time and space to think about it, process it, and come back to it later. Right? So whether that's coming to calls or or going onto the forum and saying, hey, I need some feedback, or calling your girlfriend, or whatever it is. It's like, if you need that space, if what you would like is some validation and reinforcement, give yourself permission to take that space to get it. Right.
That's really brilliant, because I feel like I can do that anytime, because I know, like, I get fired up and mad, and then he does, and yeah, and it's probably not helpful if the parent in the room is going, I don't really know.
It's not behaving like a parent, right?
Right, or feeling like one.
Right, right. So that's a kind of reclaiming the brain, right? When you notice that you're anxious and you're not sure and you don't know where to go, before you move into action, you want to make sure you're coming from a place of calm and confidence. Right? And so maybe the trash doesn't get out. So if the trash doesn't go out, either you do it or you wake them up, or the next day you have a conversation about what the impact was, right? There's very little, other than when you're behind the wheel of a car and there's another car coming, there's very little that's absolutely immediately, urgently required that can't take a little bit of time for you to breathe and reclaim your brain to feel confident in your approach.
Yeah, that's super helpful. I mean, I think it's a good sort of a good challenge for me too, because I also have ADHD, and so I do get I have that own emotionality and that my own impulsiveness, you know, that
right.
I think gets in the mix of, like, you know, this can't wait. Like, I feel like these dishes need to be washed yesterday,
right.
Or the sky is gonna fall.
Right. So I want to open it up and see who else on the call is, like, going, yes, 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 and nodding your head vociferously in this conversation. Who else feels like this feels really familiar, any aspect of it? Because I'm confident there are people.
This is Velma. Yes, that feels very familiar, and it's gotten so much better over time, having, you know, realizing that's my own response is not helping with the accountability situation at all. So, but now I'm constantly aware that this is a balance between being laissez-faire or indulgent and supportive. There's some kind of a balance you gotta find, and I guess it varies a lot. That's all I can say. I mean, I'm still constantly have doubts. Am I overdoing it or underdoing it? You know, too much structure, too little structure. Should I lay off here? And so she blows up at me every once in a while. It's okay. You know.
So can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I've been doing this a long time, and I feel the same way.
Do you?
Huh. Yeah, I really do. I mean, there are definitely days where it's like, I'm not sure if I should take this on or not. I'm not sure if I should push this or not.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no right answer. We're these are nuances because they're relationships.
Yeah.
Right? What I have come to in the last few days, actually, because, you know, I have a teenager as well in the house, was realizing that, you know, I have to understand the role that working memory plays. So I know when I ask him to do something, it's not that he's not willing to do it. It really is very often that he's forgotten.
Yeah.
And so the approach that I've taken lately has been, I'm no longer saying, will you do that? I'm saying, thanks for agreeing to do that. What will you do to help yourself remember? And so I'm no longer focusing on the task. I'm actually focusing on, like, he didn't do something he was supposed to do before school this morning, and I left it on his bed. Didn't do it for him, left it on his bed. And the conversation I will have with him in about 10 minutes when we get off the phone is, I'm not worried about you, whether you did it or not. My interest is for you to recognize that sometimes you're going to have to come up with some structures to help yourself do the things that you're not interested in doing. And so my question to you is, how are you going to remember to do it? So I really want to bring him back to his process. So I'm not yelling at him for not putting the dog food in the thing.
Yeah.
But I'm coming back to him and saying, sometimes, you know, you're doing great on this, this, and this that you love, and putting the food in the dog food thing is boring. I get it. And you got to do it.
Yeah.
So how are you going to help yourself remember?
Yeah. So as you say that, I see the sense in it. And
I have to also, there's one step I have to work on with myself, is that she's going to blow up at me if I bring it up, because she's going to know that she forgot. And
right.
That's going to make her feel bad.
Right.
So she's going to blow at me. And I'm just going to have to let that happen, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you just have to let it pass.
Yeah.
And then maybe another conversation later is to say, have you noticed that every time I bring up something, you blow up at me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So who else? What else is coming up for people in this conversation? Thanks, Vilma.
Well, this is Lisa. I have a question about what you just said in terms of your son and the dog food. So did you, though, have buy-in from him, or was it just, you know, this is something you want from him, and now he has to, again, come up with ways to help himself to remember to follow through?
I would say I had sufficient buy-in. I wouldn't say he was jumping up and down to fill the dog food container, but he pretty much knows that we're sharing the job of feeding the dogs, and I've taken on a lot of the feeding part, and his job is pretty much to make sure there's food available for me to feed the dogs. And so he owns it enough so that when I handed it and put it on the counter this morning, I said, can you feed this, fill this before you left? He said, yes.
Right.
And then he forgot. And it was right in front of him.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. And truthfully, as he was leaving, I said, wait a minute, there's something. And we looked at each other and went, ah, just go on and go. So we both forgot, and it was sitting right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But the accountability now is not doing it because I do have his buy-in, but is I want you to do it without me reminding you. That's what I'm working on now with him.
Right.
How do you get yourself to do what you got to do?
Right.
And whether it's putting gas in the car or going to the grocery store, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I guess that was a long answer. The short answer is, yeah, I am talking about things for which I do have his buy-in and his agreement, and I'm really dealing with working memory issues in his case.
Mm-hmm.
But accountability is accountability, whether the reason is working memory or anxiety or, you know, it doesn't really matter what it is. We still have to help them learn to be accountable to their responsibilities. And it's easier to do with things that they love, like driving a car or, you know, but it's important to do with things like taking out the trash and filling the dog food.
Yep.
I had a quick
further question. Go ahead. Someone say.
Kind of a coaching question about that type of thing, but not the process. So, mm-hmm. You know, one piece of it can be that you utilize the people around you to help you remember things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have some buy-in from him that can be an okay way to manage things sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely not his preference. But so he's all anxious, rushing off to his call time for his show, which was opening that night. And he's trying to eat really fast, and he's kind of late. And I'm saying, is there anything you need to take with you for the show? And he just completely, I think in retrospect, I mean, he said no. He answered me. But I think in retrospect, it was one of those things where they answer you because they want you to stop talking and not really processing the question. And then he had forgotten his backpack, which had props in it, you know, clothes he needed to wear on stage. And so then he had to have one of us go back and get that. And
right.
So do you have any suggestions for modeling for me how I might approach just that situation a little bit from a coach
So my kid's a theater kid too, so I'm right there with you. And what I would say is sometimes stuff goes out the window, and the night before a show is one of those times when it's sort of fair to assume he's anxious. Everybody's a little a Twitter, right? But you can go back after that and say, all right, what worked, what didn't work, what could we do differently next time? And to say, you know, it worked that you stopped. I asked you and you answered. What didn't work was that I think that you were probably so anxious to get out the door that you didn't really think about it. Next time, how would you like me to help make sure that you've got what you need before you leave the house? Or what do you want to do to help? Like, you can bring it up in a way of, like, it's perfectly understandable what happened. That happens here a lot, right? We had a similar situation with not having the uniform for a chorus concert that night, right? And if you can stay calm in it, there's a way for him to learn about it, so you can come back and say, okay, what would work next time if we do it differently? Does that help?
Yeah, that's helpful. And, you know, I think it might help, too, if I acknowledge, hey, you reached out for help to solve that problem. You know, you needed
yep.
it, and you weren't afraid to ask. And, you
yeah,
know, we were able,
awesome.
You know, and that's legitimate. That's problem solving. So that's
and that's progress. And that's progress.
That's actually, let me, yes. Yes, thank you. That is huge progress, for sure.
Yep, yep. So let's everybody take a minute, because we're nearing the top of the hour. Just sort of think through what we've talked about today and focus on what did you focus on and what's your takeaway from today. There may or may not be commitments coming out of today, but I want to make sure everybody's really clear on what your aha is. What are you taking away? And go ahead and share when you wish, because we're...
Okay, Vilma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to go. So I think that what... my awareness regarding the tone of the home wheel applies to my question about my target was, you know, how do I cope with this thing now that she's going to
uh-huh.
be on her own? Is what your answer was is that if the teamwork works, continues, then the shared responsibility will come out of that?
Mm-hmm.
So...
I mean, because shared responsibility also comes from expectation, right? You can have all the teamwork in the world, but if you don't expect shared responsibility and ask for it, you may or may not
right.
get it. But I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Well, okay. So you just complicated it. Let me see. So my thinking on the teamwork is sort of the approach is, this is an issue that we've talked about. Can you keep me updated on how it's going? And then the accountability would be figuring out how often she should update me. Or
ask her how she wants you to check in with her about it.
To do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let her be part of
yeah.
that, creating that structure.
Right.
Perfect.
That would be right. Yeah.
Great.
Got it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? What are you taking away?
I can give a quick aha, which is, it's just, I think the power of these calls for me, it's that realignment of expectations where, you know, when you have unrealistic expectations, nothing goes well. It's kind of like you were talking about before, how even when things start to improve, if your expectations then continue to, you know, grow, you may not ever have a situation where people feel like they're meeting them. So that's good.
Yeah. And I just want to reinforce that it's not about lowering your expectations, but there is a sort of a realignment and clarity that makes a huge difference. Awesome. Anybody else?
Does Aaron, just really quickly, the suggestion you had to pause. And if I'm having those anxious parent moments, very helpful.
Great.
Thank you.
Julie, you still here? Because I know you're about to jump off. Oh, she's already gone. She always has to leave right at the top of the hour. Lisa, what about you?
I guess more than anything, it was helpful to hear about your son and the working memory. It was a good reminder that the working memory piece is probably what interferes with my son remembering to fulfill responsibilities, and it's not, I get into this thing in my head, lack of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
maybe it's more, you know, even though I put put post-it and all this stuff, and it's sitting right in front of him, it could truly be a working memory. And
right, which is why the focus is helping him put the post-its up, not you.
Right.
Right, helping him come up with the ways to remember or whatever instead of you. Because if you're doing it,
yeah.
it's still your agenda. It's not his.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Erin, I realize you were talking about pause, and I feel like I cut you off. So.
Oh, no, no, I don't think you did. That was it.
Right. just making sure.
No, that was perfect.
All right, everybody. Thank you for an amazing call. That was great. You guys are awesome, and you're doing such good work. And I just want to remind
you
to give yourself the space and time to, like, that this stuff takes time, and you're doing really, really, really great work making it happen, you know. So have patience with the process, all of you. And
mm-hmm.
you know, just set the intention of what you're looking for in the tone of the home. And, you know, incremental progress is the ultimate goal.
Right.
All right. Y'all have a great,
thank
great
you.
Couple of weeks. We will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everyone.